Songs of Salvation, number 505. Join the choir as we sing this first song, and we'll stand together. What a wonderful change in my life has been brought. This time we'll really hold those long notes. Take a bigger breath this time, all right? Given us a new song, a song that's not new or novel, but a song that's new in character, that's new in freshness, that's new in the sincerity of its message and the stability of its message. We thank Thee for the song of the gospel. Now bless us as we fellowship together around the gospel in song. Bless Your word in a special way for Christ's sake. Amen. You may be seated. It would be hard for us to imagine what an old-fashioned tabernacle meeting was like. When I was a student at Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones Jr. didn't let us use a microphone. The preachers could be mic'd, but the singers and the choirs, no way. But can you imagine a tall, simple wooden frame structure, a temporary tabernacle built for Dwight L. Moody's meetings with several thousands of people, and perhaps a sawdust floor covering the dirt and simple wooden pews, and yet people heard every note? And there at the front of that platform was a tall cabinet pump organ with Ira Sankey, Moody's song leader and soloist, sitting at the pump organ with his high starched collar and singing. Sankey, who wrote Shelter in the Time of Storm, Under His Wings, Faith is a Victory. We're going to sing one of his songs, but it's not as familiar, but it's a song about salvation, 158. 1 Corinthians says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Romans 5:20, but where sin abounded, grace grace did much more abound. 158, Grace, 'Tis a Charming Sound. We'll sing it together. Sing alone on the tune on the second. Ladies, join us in parts on the chorus. Men. The men will join on the chorus on four. Thy grace inspire. Going to sing a song about God's salvation and grace. Much is said about love today. There's a lot of human definition of love. Let's hear what God says about love. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Ina sings, I am amazed.
Oh,
while he abides forevermore within. It was a song of salvation. He brought me up also out of the miry clay. Do you remember when God saved you? I was about 9 or 10 years old, and I walked the aisle at a revival meeting in my home church, and my dad followed me and led me to the Lord. And you know, after you're saved, the first thing you want to do is tell somebody. But there was nobody around but old Mr. Fredin, one of the deacons. Now, he was like 50, but when you're 9 years old, 50 is ancient. And when you're a kid, deacons are like Moses and Joshua. They're people you don't go up to them. But I was so excited, I had to go tell Mr. Fredin that I'd trusted Christ. I hope that we can keep that same joy in our hearts that we had the moment we trusted Christ. Isaiah said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Let's sing that little chorus. His name is Wonderful. That song for all eternity about the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. You've received, I think, from the ushers a little song sheet, and you're going to sing in the choir. Many of you have always wanted to sing, but you didn't want to come to the rehearsals. No rehearsal tonight. You get to sing with us. You follow the directions. The choir sings the first stanza, then the men of the congregation sing, then the ladies of the congregation sing. And then on the last stanza, I'll get you to your feet and we'll all sing together. This popular hymn is based on Revelation 19:12, which says, "His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself." But here's a more complete description of that scene from Revelation chapter 5. "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" Christ the Lamb will be the center of our eternal praise for all eternity. Crown him with many crowns.
Crown him with many crowns. might just take off out of this building tonight. Thank Dr. Gustafson and the choir, all of you who join in to make this Singspiration so special. Let's turn to our memory verses for this month. This is the last time we'll be going over these verses. This is the month we've commemorated the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how we praise Him for His life and the life He gives to us for the salvation that He has provided. It's Romans chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. We'll say the verses together. Well, we'll say the reference first, and then the verses together, and then we'll repeat the reference. And we begin verse 4 with the words Jesus Christ. Romans 1, 4 and 5. Jesus Christ, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. Romans 1, 4 and 5. I want to thank you for coming and being here for our service this evening. Appreciate everyone's presence. For those of you that are visiting with us, we say a special welcome to you. And there are some visitors' cards in the book racks in the pews. And we'd appreciate if you'd take one of those cards and fill it out, drop it in the offering plate when it passes by, that we might know that you've been with us tonight. Again, we thank you for coming. In regard to announcements, the mother-daughter event is coming up a week from this coming Saturday, not this coming Saturday, but a week from then, and this is the last day for you to purchase tickets. Every lady, as I've said many, many times, is somebody's mother or somebody's daughter, and so all ladies are eligible to come and encouraged to come, and there'll be somebody over here in the parlor, which is over on this side, if you're not familiar with it. And right next to the ladies' restroom, there'd be somebody there after the service where you can purchase tickets tonight. Ladies have again prepared something very special. It's not nearly as good as last year when the men did it all, but it's gonna be good. So, ladies, you'll want to come. And I don't want any of you ladies to think, well, nobody could ever come up to what the men did, and so why bother going? No, you should bother coming. You should be here. And you're going to enjoy it. You're going to be blessed by it. And you'll miss something if you don't come. So go by the parlor, purchase your tickets afterward. Other announcements in the bulletin that I would ask you to give your attention to. This is, of course, the last Sunday, as we know, of this month. And this is the Sunday in which we receive two offerings. The first one is for our regular budget needs. We're getting close to that time when we hope to begin our new activity center. And while we have sufficient funds, or almost have sufficient funds to start it, we have a long way to go in order to finish it. And as we're on a pay-as-you-go basis, I hope you'll be praying that the Lord will provide the funds that are necessary, that we can not only begin constructing this building, but we can continue right on through to the completion of it. If we had the funds on hand, it would probably take us until a year from this August at the earliest to complete it. And we're trusting the Lord to provide the funds so that that can be the completion time. But that's for our first offering, our regular budget needs. And then the second time is our loose change offering. And that will be without further announcement. We'll have the ushers come and receive your loose change. And this goes for the church over in Poland that we're seeking to help with the expansion of their building in order to take care of more people in that ministry. But thank you in advance for your giving. Those folks still in the hospital are Mrs. Nona Patterson, Sarah Larkin, Floyd Luttrell, and Grace Tuttle. Thank the Lord for undertaking for these folks. Continue to remember them before Him. Ron Telepetri is now out of the hospital out in Arizona, staying in a motel, going back for therapy every day. You need to pray for his recovery. Michael Larson, the grandson of the Eric Larsons, had a bone marrow transplant this week that has been completed. He has to stay there for 100 days to go in each day, and pray that this will be successful. This is a very critical time. Having the bone marrow transplant is a very unpleasant thing for the one receiving it, also for his father who gave the bone marrow, and to pray the Lord might see in his grace to sustain Michael, and that this will do what it's designed to do, that this will keep away his leukemia, and he'll be recovered as a result of this. Remember Darlene Bingham, Iva Turner, Margie Arnold, who have been in the hospital and are now back home. And Tracy Leanman's father, Howard Kaplan, passed away in New York. We want to remember Tracy and her family in this time of loss. We have some men down in Haiti now working with Dr. Ann Livingston. Let's remember them as they work there in this time in Haiti. Want to pray for ourselves that God will use this service tonight to really bless our hearts and speak to our hearts. And if there's anyone here who doesn't possess salvation, that this might become the time when they sense their need of Christ and open their hearts and receive Him. We'll ask the ushers to come and get in place, and Pastor Connolly will lead us in our prayer.
Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for this Lord's Day. Lord, you've made it possible by the resurrection of your body from the tomb. And Lord, we look forward to that day when you will restore all things, when you will call us to be with you. And Lord, we rejoice in the salvation that you have given to us, that it stretches from eternity past to eternity future, that we can enjoy that wonderful relationship with the God of heaven. And we do pray this evening that you might cause our hearts to be drawn closer to you. We pray that we might rejoice in you. We pray for these that have special needs, dear Father, that you would minister to each one. Many of them have been on our hearts for a number of weeks or even months. And we do pray that you would be close to them, that you would minister to them, that they would sense your comfort and your grace at this time. We pray as we give our gifts to you, Lord, that you would be pleased with what we give, that it might be token that we've given ourselves to you first. And Lord, that you would multiply these gifts to the advancement of your kingdom and to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
have once again come to that time of year when we recognize the graduates. So if you are graduating this year, either with your high school diploma or with a college degree or a graduate degree, if you would line up in front of the organ and along that wall, and we will take time now to recognize you. For those of you who are graduating, once you get up there, we'd like to hear your name, the school you're graduating from, and your degree or diploma, and what your future plans are. So as you all come down, it looks like we've got a good number. So look forward to hearing from you all now. Okay, Mr. Coleman, why don't you begin?
I'm Philip Coleman, and my major will be Aviation Management at Bob Jones.
Thank you.
My name is Troy Houlihan, and I'll be graduating from Bob Jones Academy, and I'll be attending Bob Jones University in the fall with a major in accounting.
My name is Cherie Kendall, and I'll be graduating from Bob Jones University with a Bachelor of Science in Family and Consumer Science, and I'll be traveling with the Singles Ministry team this summer to California.
My name is Greta Foreman. I'll be graduating from Bob Jones University with a Master's of Arts in English and returning in the fall to get a Master's of Education in English.
My name is Jessica Mizell, and I will be graduating from Bob Jones University with a Bachelor of Science degree in Elementary Education. And then, Lord willing, next year I will be going out to California to serve at Camp Lucerne.
My name is Andrew Francine, and I'll be graduating from Bob Jones University with a Bachelor's in Bible. And in the fall, Lord willing, I'll be starting a Master's in Theology.
My name is Kristen Neal. I'll be graduating from Bob Jones University with a Bachelor of Arts degree in History, and I have future plans to attend law school at the University of South Carolina.
My name is Elizabeth Sims, and I'll be graduating from Bob Jones University with a Bachelor of Science degree in Accounting. 2 weeks later, I'll be getting married to Ryan Neal and moving to Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
My name is Victoria Sims. I'm graduating from Bob Jones Academy. This summer, I'm working at Camp Chautauqua, Wisconsin, and when I return, I plan to attend Bob Jones University with a major in cinema and photography and a minor in dramatic introduction performances.
My name is George Clements. I'll be graduating from Bob Jones University with a degree in political science, and this summer, I'll be at the Wilds of the Rockies.
My name is Kyle Martin. I'll be graduating from Bob Jones University with a Bachelor of Science in Accounting and attending law school in the fall.
My name is Jason Wagoner, and I'll be graduating with a degree in two-dimensional art from Bob Jones, and next year I'll be working at the university and teaching metal casting.
My name is Emily Zane, and I'm graduating from Bob Jones with a degree in church music, and I'll be getting married and teaching privately.
My name is Robert Troutman, and I'll be graduating from Bob Jones University with a Bachelor of Arts in Bible, and then plan on, Lord willing, going to the seminary for an MA in Pastoral Studies.
My name is Jeremy Dermond. I am graduating from Bob Jones University with an Associate's in Business Management, and Lord willing, I'll be returning in the fall with Christian Leadership Training.
My name is Jason Stefoff, and I will be graduating from Bob Jones with a degree in church music, and I'll be returning for a combined Master of Divinity and Master of Music degree while working as a grad assistant composing music for BJ Link.
My name is Joni Joy Pegram. I'll be graduating from Bob Jones University with a Bachelor of Science degree in Music Education. In the fall, I plan to continue my studies at the university as a graduate assistant, pursuing a Master of Arts degree in Fine Arts.
I'm Audrey Beth Pegram, and I'm going to be graduating from Hampton Park Christian School in about 3 weeks, and I'll be majoring in piano performance at Bob Jones University in the fall.
My name is Megan McAdams, and I will be graduating in a few weeks from Hampton Park Christian School. This summer, I will be working at the Wilds in North Carolina, and then this fall, I will be attending Bob Jones University and majoring in voice performance.
My name is Karis Crowley. I'll be graduating from Hampton Park Christian School in a few weeks. I'm planning to attend BJ in the fall, and I'm going to be majoring in nursing.
My name is Brian Johansson, and I'm graduating on Thursday from Bob Jones Academy. And this summer, I'm working at Camp Lucerne, and in the fall, I'll go to Bob Jones University to major in piano performance.
My name is John McCall. I'll be graduating from Hampton Park and attending Bob Jones in the fall. I'll major in financial management and minor in computer science.
I'm Melanie Rehm. I'll be graduating from Bob Jones Academy this Thursday, and I plan on attending the university in the fall, majoring in chemistry.
My name is Andrew Garland, and in about 94 hours, I'll be graduating from Bob Jones Academy, and I plan to attend the university in the fall and major in Bible.
My name is Matt Yeagley, and on Thursday at 4 o'clock, I'm graduating from Bob Jones Academy. You all are invited. And next year, I'll be majoring in marketing management, and I'm not sure about my minor yet.
My name is Luke Foreman, and I will be graduating from Bob Jones Academy. And in the fall, I will be attending Bob Jones University with a major in financial management and a minor in counseling.
My name is Charles Simons. I'll be receiving my master's degree in counseling from Bob Jones University, and I plan to continue on at the university as a graduate assistant.
I'm Ruth Simons. I'll be receiving my education specialist and plan to continue working at the elementary school.
My name is Rachel Foppenroth, and I'll be graduating from Bob Jones with a Bachelor of Science degree in nursing, and I'm still praying about the future.
My name is Don Gray. Is that loud enough, Mrs. Moose? I will be receiving my Bachelor of Arts degree in Bible, and I will be continuing at Bob Jones University to earn my master's in theology.
My name is Kevin Archibald. I plan to graduate from Landmark Christian Academy in a couple of weeks. I plan to attend Bob Jones University in next fall.
My name is Anna Mason, and I'll be graduating from Carolina Christian School, and I'll be attending Bob Jones in the fall, and I'll be majoring in graphic design.
My name is Tim Challenger. I'm graduating from Landmark Christian Academy. In the fall, I'm planning to attend Bob Jones, the major in sacred music.
My name is Amy Erkins, and I'll be graduating from Bob Jones University with a Bachelor of Science degree in Foods and Nutrition.
My name is Kevin Johns. I'll be graduating with a Bachelor of Science in Physical Education, and we'll be looking forward to getting married on July the 7th. And after that, I'll be looking forward to eating all the food she learned how to cook. And we'll be going up to Lafayette, Indiana, and I'll be teaching in a Christian school up there.
My name is Elizabeth Reby, and I'll be graduating from Bob Jones Academy. In the fall, I'll be attending Bob Jones University and majoring in elementary education.
My name is Katie Cruz, and I'll be graduating from Bob Jones University with a Bachelor of Arts in Publishing, and in a couple of weeks, I'll be starting to work at the Greer Citizen as a journalist.
My name is Michelle Sleaf, and I'll be graduating from Bob Jones University with a Bachelor of Science degree in Special Education, Elementary Education, and I plan to teach in the fall.
My name is Gina Spence. I'll be graduating from Bob Jones Academy, and I plan to attend the university in the fall with a major in history and a minor in counseling.
My name is Aaron Higgs. I'm graduating from Bob Jones Academy with the rest of them. I'll be attending Bob Jones University in the fall with a major in Bible.
My name is Amy Hadley, and if I pass my exams, I'll be graduating from Bob Jones Academy. I plan to attend Bob Jones University in the fall with a major in humanities.
I'm Julie Hadley, and I will finally be completing my undergraduate degree in office administration, minoring in family and consumer sciences, and I'll be continuing my ministry there at the university in the fall.
And I am Jim Ellis. I'll be graduating from Bob Jones University with an Associates of Applied Science and Aircraft Maintenance. This summer, I'll be working at the Wilds, North Carolina as a counselor, and Lord willing, I'll be coming back to finish up my five-year major in a Bachelor's of Missionary Aviation.
Tonight I'd like to recognize a graduate of Bob Jones University. That was 50 years ago that he graduated, our pastor, Dave Yerrick. Truly, today is his 75th birthday, and we'd like to pause just for a second tonight to recognize him and to also show our appreciation to the pastor. Not too many churches can say that they've been in existence over 60 years, and they have their second pastor here before them. This is his 38th year of ministry at Hampton Park. What a blessing. Pastor, we tried to think of something that we could do for someone that has everything or give to someone that has everything, and it was really tough for us. But we thought about it a little while. We thought, well, what could we do for you that would be a blessing to you and also to thank the Lord for you? And so we decided to take a little offering for the new activity center, and that's what we've done. And through God's people, we've collected $39,000. And Pastor, you were a little incorrect tonight. We're now over the total that we needed to start construction. We were looking at $1.3 million to begin. Tonight, I'm thankful to say that we're $1,319,468. So praise the Lord for that. But to recognize you just in this way is a little bit impersonal. We'd like to do something extra for you as well. I've done a little bit of research, and I did uncover something kind of unusual, though, before I get to the main point here in the research. And now that pastors reached the age of 75, I've discovered that he's taken on a new health plan that he's following. It's a new diet. And they tell me that you're now on the Strom Thurmond diet, is what I understand. So he said if it worked for Strom Thurmond at 98, it'll work for him at 75. So Pastor, you have been a blessing. Your wife has been a blessing to this ministry. And tonight, we're not going to have a lot of fanfare, but we would like to thank you and show appreciation for you and thank God for you. Above and beyond what we've already mentioned as far as the offering, we've also found that there's a dramatic production that takes place in Pennsylvania about Noah that you've had an interest in. So we're going to take care of the cost to send you and your wife up there to enjoy that as well. And we also have a little bit of money left over that we're going to give to you to take your family out to dinner on the church and the congregation to also to thank you as well. Really, Pastor, in considering your ministry here these many years that God has blessed you, we know that you haven't done it alone. We know that you've had a great staff to work with. Certainly, you've had a wonderful deacon board to work with this year. But there's a lady that sits beside you, and next week it'll be 49 years, I believe, that y'all have been working side by side with each other, and we'd like to thank God for her. We also have something over here, too, some notes that folks in the congregation have written. This will take you probably most of the day tomorrow to look at those, but this is just a way, too, to thank you for your ministry here these many years. But I think we have something for Mrs. Yerrick over there, don't we, Bob? Behind every successful man is a woman, and this is the woman right here, Mrs. Bobby Yerrick. Let's give her a round of applause. Wonderful to see Pastor here with the love of his wife and how they've ministered in this place these many years. Also, too, Pastor, is your wife pins on the boutonniere. I'd have to be honest and say there's somebody else that has kept you straight from the office standpoint, and that's your faithful secretary. And I know I'm going to get killed for this, but she's been working with you now for 25 years, of course, and we'd like to recognize her tonight. So I think we have something, too, so we'll go ahead. Naomi Taylor, would you stand too as well? Naomi, I know that we take you for granted every day, but thank you for all you do, not only in serving as pastor's secretary, but as the office manager, and a person that receives countless calls and questions and inquiries. And we certainly appreciate your ministry here these many years, and thank you for your faithfulness as well. So, Pastor, that's about all I can say, other than we do have a gentleman that would like to come up and offer a word of thanks to the Lord for your ministry here, for this special day in your life as your birthday. We'd also like to thank the Lord for sparing you. We know that several months ago, it looked for a while that the Lord might choose to take you home, but we're glad you're here, and we thank God for you. Dr. Bob Shelton, would you come up? You want me to help you up there? Okay. Yeah.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate this recognition and glad I'm able to be here. You know, there are some notable folks that were born on this day. And one of the most notable ones is Harriet Williams, one of our church secretaries. So I've been saying happy birthday to her all week long just to get her acclimated for this. Now, she's not quite the same year that I am. She's a little bit ahead of me. Well, it just depends how you take that, see. I mean, not that she's older, she's younger, so she's that way she's ahead of me. But the Queen of England was 75 this week. So we've come a long way together, Elizabeth and I. And it said in the news story about her that she's one of the few people at age 75 that has a full-time job. So I have that in common with her. At least I'm paid full-time, whether I work full-time or not. Same is true with the Queen. Who knows what she does? I have some facts here. I don't mean to take all evening, but somebody gave me this in anticipation of you recognizing me. Not only am I 75 years of age, but I am 27,394 days old, or 657,467 hours old, or 39,448,034 minutes old. And I am a billionaire, because in seconds, I am 2,366,882,045 seconds. It just went over to 46 or 47 there. So I am blessed to be a billionaire by having lived this number of seconds. Now you can come, Bob, if you'd like to come now. Thank you very much. I also want to thank my family for the beautiful flowers.
Well, Paul said I ought to say something just before I pray. 75, that's old. Heavenly days. Of course, the pastor's a little bit touchy about his age. Have you noticed that? Someone asked him just this morning, well, how old are you? He said, 22. Now, of course, that's 22 Celsius. 22 Celsius is 75 Fahrenheit. So anyway, he's getting up there. But where has the time gone? I can't believe it. 1947, we started college together. That was 54 years ago. Of course, he's a couple years older than I, and I want you to know that. That's because he was in kindergarten for 3 years. It wasn't his fault. He had chicken pox. You ever heard of a little boy with chicken pox for 3 years? But anyway, that was our beloved pastor. The truth is, he and several of our college buddies got there a little bit later because they were in the Army. When we got out of high school, it was just at that time when World War II was coming to an end, and some of those fellows went in the military for a couple of years. But the fact is, today he's 75 years old. So time marches on. Reminds me of Roscoe. And Roscoe is that fellow who is lamenting the fact that he was 70, and also lamenting the fact that his wife was 70. And so he was walking down the beach one day, and he was really sad to think that he was 70, and he was even sadder to think that his wife was 70. And as he was going down the beach all by himself, he said, I wish that my wife were 30 years younger. That would be kind of nice if I were 70 and she were 40. Well, he continued to walk down the beach, and suddenly he happened to see a bottle, and he picked it up, and out jumped a genie. And the genie said, boy, you sure are fortunate. I'll give you whatever wish you want. He said, I wish that my wife were 30 years younger than I. The genie said, are you sure about that? He said, yep, that's my wish. I've been thinking about it. There was a puff of smoke, and there he stood, 100 years old. That guy was a real loser. You're not a loser, Dave. Thank God. So it could be worse. Actually, he's only 3/4 of the way there, so hang in. I think you'll make it to 100 if you don't get chicken pox anymore. So he's doing very well. No, we love Dave and Bobby, and they're just like a brother and sister. And for all these years, we don't have any closer friends. We love them and thank God for them. And we rejoice today at this happy occasion, 75 years. And Paul asked if I'd just say these few words of introduction, but primarily to pray. And so I'd ask you to join me as we lift our hearts to the Lord for just a moment. Lord, we do bow our hearts before you today to thank you for Dave Yerrick. We praise you that he has used these years for your glory. We have seen this, Lord, as he has proven to be a faithful husband and a loving father and a caring pastor. We thank you, Lord, for his ability in the pulpit. We thank you for his tenderness in counseling. We thank you, Lord, that you have used him in bringing many people to Christ, encouraging those who have been downtrodden. We thank you, Lord, for the tremendous vision you've given him, a vision not only for his own Jerusalem, but literally for the whole world. And I pray, Lord, as long as you will give him breath and health and opportunity, he will continue to go on, and we pray that that will be for a considerable time. Lord, use him in days ahead, and we would even have the audacity to pray that some of his greatest years of service will yet be ahead. And so tonight, Lord, as we honor this man of God, we pause as a congregation to thank you for bringing him our way. We commit him afresh now to thy care. Pray that these days will be used for the glory of one person primarily, the one that Dave has labored so faithfully for, and his name is Jesus. Lord, we pray that thou will continue to use him to uplift thy dear Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Songs of Salvation. The psalmist said, "He has set my feet upon a rock." Sometimes the deepest pain of life brings the deepest spiritual joy. And the psalmist said, "He established my goings. He gives me a firm place to stand. He gives me security." We're going to sing a song about that, 477. Turn to it. I'll tell you a little about it, and then we'll stand and sing. Words and music by a man named Luther Bridges. Sort of an unpossessing name. He was a Methodist preacher and then later became an evangelist. He traveled, and in 1910, he and his wife and three children went down to visit his in-laws in Harrisburg, Kentucky. They had a long family reunion session, went to bed late. Everybody was sleeping. In the middle of the night, a neighbor saw flames in the house, ran down, and in the confusion, people coming out of the house, they suddenly realized that Luther and his wife's mother and father were the only ones who had gotten out of the house. His wife and his children were in the house, and he tried to go back, and they restrained him. The flames destroyed the house and the family. And out of that experience, this man not only wrote these wonderful words, but he wrote this tune that's just as happy as it can be. "There's within my heart a melody." And look at stanza 4. "Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, and yet God's song, the song of salvation, was clear in his heart." Let's stand together and sing it. Then stanza 5. Seated. 462, Hiding in Thee, William Cushing, the author. Ira Sankey, again, our song leader soloist for Dwight L. Moody, said, "Send me something new to help me in my gospel work." Cushing had been a preacher, but then had a strange affliction that limited his speech abilities, and he had to ask the Lord to give him a new ministry. And what was his ministry? Writing beautiful gospel song texts. "Under His Wings," "When He Cometh," "Follow On," "I Will Follow Jesus," and many others. Let's sing "Hiding in Thee." Without the instruments on the chorus, the choir is going to sing the first "Hiding in Thee," the balcony and the last four or five rows sing the second "Hiding in Thee," then we'll all join in "Thou Blessed Rock of Ages." On the last, please. Sandy loam of Georgia and the red clay of Carolina and the hazy hills of the Appalachian country have come some beautiful shape note hymns. We call them shape notes because people learn to sing by the shape of the notes. The scale has only five tones, and you know that scale because it's the first song you ever learned. "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So." In music, we call it the pentatonic scale. And many, many beautiful tunes have been written by that scale. Shape note hymns. I got interested in as a young arranger and have done many of them through the years. The one the choir is going to sing tonight is an arrangement I did on a commission from a lady up in North Carolina for her pastor father. And it's one of my favorite old hymns. I first really got acquainted with it when I was writing the music for Sheffy. The big campground scene where there is an invitation given, they sing, "Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and weary, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you. I will arise and go to Jesus." It was interesting during the filming of that campground service, which took several days, that several of the audience, students or staff, came to Christ as Savior. And I remember my dear friend Jim Conley, the father of our Pastor Conley, leading the singing for that campground service, as we sang again and again, "I will arise and go to Jesus." Here's a setting of that tonight. brought me up out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth. In the late 60s, as often happened, a note appeared on my desk with a poem attached from my boss, Dr. Bob Jr. Said, "Dear Gus, here's a poem. Please set it to music." You don't say no to your boss, you do what he says. And this one I wrote for my wife. She sang it for many years, Strong in Salvation. We now have it in the hymn book. Dr. Garlick put it in the hymn book, and we're going to sing it tonight as a congregation, number 78. Ken Puidak is going to sing the verses, and we're going to get to sing the chorus with him. And on that last chorus, we'll stand together. A wonderful song that sort of wraps up the entire message of the psalmist's vision here in these first verses of Psalm 40. Strong in salvation, dawn of the morning and stars of the night, show forth thy wonder and tell of thy might. By thee consisting all things thou hast made, Lord of creation, in glory arrayed, strong in salvation. Ken, come sing us for us.
Dawn of the morning and stars of the night, show forth thy wonder and tell of thy might. By thee consisting all things thou hast made, Lord of creation, in glory arrayed. True are thy judgments and holy thy ways.
Underscore what the psalmist has told us tonight. First, a song of salvation. I waited patiently for the Lord, a recognition of our need. Is there someone here tonight who is ready to wait patiently for the Lord? And his response to that need, he heard my cry. He turned to me. He inclined his ear. It literally means he turned to me. And a prophetic and graphic picture of his need, a horrible pit and miry clay, and a glorious rescue. He brought me up. Is your testimony fresh? Can you still feel like I felt when I was reluctant to talk to Mr. Fredin? Paul told the Ephesian church that they had done a lot of good things. They had labored, they had patience, they could bear those who were evil. They tried those who were, they could not bear those who were evil. They tried those who were false apostles. They hadn't fainted, but he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you've lost your first love. Have we lost our first love? In the second place, the psalmist said, he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He gave me a firm place to stand. Our security rests in the God of complete deliverance. I have a note here in my hand. Well, a copy of the note. The original is too precious. I wouldn't bring it. It's inside the top of my folder on my desk. Thursday, April 22nd, 1999. Memo from the desk of James A. Martin. Dear Dr. Gus, I have always dreaded my trips to the cancer center for chemo. The last five trips, however, I have played my tape of your three songs, with that swelling choir music just lifting me out of my car seat. I walk into the center with that great music in my mind and heart. Thanks for your part in my treatment. Jim. A God of deliverance is Jim Martin's God. That's real, folks. That's not something preached about. That's something lived about. Is your God the God of deliverance? Do you know Him? Are you wrestling with problems tonight that you can't solve? Or are you really ready? And then the psalmist said, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, and many shall really jump for joy because it's a wonderful tune and has great rhythm. No, they said, many shall fear and trust in the Lord. David knew that many would see it because David was a leader of the congregation. And do you realize that David's psalms were not private? They were sung. And do we have that kind of accountability as believers today? We should. We should. We should be here in God's house. We should be accountable. But do many see your song? The Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the dynamite of God. There's nothing else that's going to turn loose in a man's life like the power of God. I have a daughter-in-law, in fact, my only daughter-in-law, who has red hair and a temperament to go along with it. She went to law school after she had had three children, then adopted one from Cambodia, and then had three more children, and finally retired from public practice and has her own practice. But while she was working on her law degree at Georgetown University, one of the top 10 law schools in the U.S., she decided in her last term to take the most liberal course in the whole school. It was titled, The Law, Conscience, and Nonviolence. Taught by Coleman McCarthy. You may have read his syndicated column in the Washington Post, if you subscribe to that rather liberal paper. She was determined that she was going to say a few things in class, but she wasn't going to jump up every time something went wrong. So she would come home at 9 and talk with her lawyer husband, my son, and they would discuss what was going on in the class. And she prayed about it. One day there was a visiting lecturer who, during her lecture, said, Christ's purpose in life was to teach nonviolence. Are there any questions? Wow, what an opening. Sharon asked to speak. And for one of the few times in class, she said, "I don't believe that's why Christ came to this earth." Well, why did he come? Wow, big opening. And she presented the gospel. Sitting next to her was a young, dark-skinned man from South Africa, a converted communist. When the class was stunned. Nobody else spoke. When the class was over, Sharon got up to leave, and this young man tapped her on the arm, and he said, "Sharon, my Jesus was ashamed of me today. He hath put a new song in my mouth. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord." And may our song of salvation not only be in the shower, may it be on the bus, in the workplace, on the airplane, in the supermarket, to the delivery man, to the dear friend, to the family member whom we say, "Well, it's very hard to talk to your family about these things." And may our song of salvation resound for God's glory from this Gospel Lighthouse in this coming year. To God be the glory, Pastor.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. Do you have the song of salvation? We can sing songs about salvation without having true salvation in Christ. But we cannot have a song of salvation that is ours unless we have that salvation that is in the Lord Jesus. You've heard these beautiful songs as we've sung them and heard them sung tonight. You've heard the message concerning Christ's desire to save all who will come to Him. But my concern is, and it's a concern of all of us who are saved, is that everyone here had that song of salvation. If you don't have it, you don't have Christ, we want to give you an opportunity to receive Him. Or maybe as a Christian, your song of salvation hasn't been ringing out like it should as you go from place to place, as life leads you to your various destinations day by day. You say, I need to stir up, I have that song stirred up within me. I need to ask God to stir me that I'll have that song loud and clear, that others will know that I have Christ as my Savior. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and we're going to have just the instruments play, or do you have a song? All right, we'll sing 639. Let's not close our eyes, but turn to 639. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And as we sing this, and you need to turn your eyes upon Him for salvation tonight, we invite you to come and meet one of us here at the front. And we'll have somebody go with you to a quiet place where they can share the plan of salvation with you. Or if as a Christian you need to have this song stirred up anew within you, and you want to just come and kneel here at the altar and tell God that, we invite you to come. As we sing together, number 639.
to really turn your spiritual eyes upon Jesus by faith and accept Him as your Savior. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that would be for you. And as a Christian, you need to come and say, Lord, stir up this song of salvation in my heart. Stir up my song. I will have the joy and I will have the desire of letting this song be known. Talk this morning about our selfishness, about our lustful desires, about our pride. Often our selfishness and our pride keeps us from responding to the Lord when we should. Don't let that stand in your way. God will give you the grace and give you the strength to overcome that. But you can do what you ought to do in response to His invitation. All the choir sing, you obey the Lord.
Our Father, how we thank Thee this evening for this opportunity we've had of coming together in this service. Thank You for the blessing that has come as we have enjoyed this wonderful music together that glorifies Thee and exalts Thee. Thank You for the message of the songs that we've been able to sing and hear sung. Thank You, Lord, for making it so clear to us that You desire to save unto the uttermost all that will come to Thee through Jesus Christ. May we go away with this song in our hearts, and Lord, may that song be heard as we go from place to place in the days of this week that are before us. We praise Thee again for all of Thy goodness in Christ's name. Amen. Once again, we thank You for coming, and I thank You for that special recognition from my birthday, and kind of overwhelmed by it all, and especially want to say again how much appreciate every remembrance, and that offering is so wonderful for that activity center, and I thank You for that, and all have had a part in it, and I will take a few minutes tomorrow morning and read all these cards before going out, but just thank You so much. Could we close by singing a verse or two of How Great Thou Art?
Yeah.
All right, we'll sing the first and last verses. Let's see, it's number 38 if you need it. Number 38, thank Dr. Gustafson tonight for leading this service. And we'll sing this and we'll be dismissed.